as the most important thing for salvation, and it's not. Grace is, and he knows that, and he doesn't say that, but what he basically says is that grace without works doesn't mean anything. That if you don't do something, then having all the grace in the world doesn't really mean much. And so we begin at the very beginning of James. I love James. It's not a long book, but it's a very pragmatic book. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes of dispersions. Greeting. My brothers and sisters, when you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but a joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may mature and be complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to you. But ask in faith, never doubting. For the one who doubts is like the waves of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For the doubter, being double-minded and unstable in every way, must not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Let the believer who is lowly boast in being raised up, and the rich in being brought low, because the rich will disappear like a flower in the field. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the field. Its flower falls, and its beauty perishes. It is the same way with the rich. In the midst of a busy life, they will wither away. Blessed is anyone who endures temptation. Such a one has stood the test and will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. No one, when tempted, should say, "I am being tempted by God." For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. But one is tempted by one's own desire, being lured and enticed by it. Then, when the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and that sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Do not be deceived, my beloved. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, God gave us birth by the world of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Today it starts with a little bit of a history lesson. Since the beginning of time with God, God has been trying to help us be in relationship with God, in a good, positive, healthy relationship with God, in a relationship where we bless God and God blesses us, where we offer up wonderful worship and God offers us wonderful blessings. Now, God has never stopped the blessings from coming. But throughout the history with God, we humans have had times when we forget to be in relationship with God and we sort of break off and decide that we don't need God anymore, that we can run things ourselves. And so we'll become independent and we'll run things and we'll be little gods, little g-gods. And we've seen throughout history, that doesn't work very well. Humans are very smart, by and large. But they're not very wise, and there is a difference. Humans are very clever, but they're not always very wise. Humans can be very giving, but they're not always gregarious. They're not always, always giving. Their hearts are not necessarily giving. Sometimes it's just their hands that reach into the pocketbook once, twice, three times to give. If we look at God, we know that God is all giving. God will give us anything that we need and everything that we need. And that makes us very, very rich in God's blessings. And we are to live a very, very thankful life. But sometimes we're not grateful. We think that we've done everything on our own without any help. Aren't we smart? Aren't we good? Now, yes, God needs us to work together. You notice at the beginning, I didn't say anything about God smacking us and telling us to go out and do stuff by ourselves. We work together. We're in a relationship with God. So we see, at the very beginning, when the very first humans decide that they are godly enough to eat of a tree of knowledge that is too much for them, it will bring them too much wisdom and they can't handle it, and so God has to make them leave. And so they have to fend for themselves and then find their way back to God. And when they do, it's simple. Help God, we can't do it without you. We know that you created the heavens and the earth, the stars, and all that is, and we need you. So God comes back into close relationship, and they live in peace for a while, but of course humans, once again, can't stand it. They have to be in charge, they have to be their own kings, they have to be their own gods, and so they break off again. And so God sends them into the wilderness, and we could go through the whole Old Testament and New Testament, and I'm not going to, but it happens through the prophets, and then it happens through Jesus Christ in the New Testament, and that was supposed to be the definitive time. They can't seem to get this any other way, those humans, so I will send my son, the one, a real person, somebody that looks like them, who will teach them everything, will give them every blessing, healing, miracles, all those things. And then they will follow me. So what happens? The first Christians go back to simple things. Each time God intervenes and pulls us back, we go back to simpler times. We go back to simpler practices. When Jesus comes, they don't have great synagogues to work in or worship in. They meet in houses. They meet, you know, in front yards, if you call sand a yard. They meet in secret. But soon they're building great churches and great altars and bejeweling everything, just like the Jewish Judaic community did, just like they had all the way through history. So we come to the Reformation, and the Reformation does the same thing. It says, wait, you got me confused here. And you've let things and ornateness take over and represent your faith, and we need to keep it simple. Luther and the Lutherans and Christianity in the Protestant age, early Protestant age, was simpler, but they didn't go back to completely simple times. They did use the churches that they had. Luther's idea wasn't to just throw out the baby in the bathwater. Luther's idea was to reform. That's why it's called the Reformation. reform the ideas. Then we had what was known as the Anabaptist movement, and that's not known a lot in history because it doesn't seem like it did much. That's where we came from. And about 9 other denominations came from. The Church of Christ, non-instrumental, came from there. The United Church of Christ, the Disciples of Christ, the Brethren, Church of the Brethren, I'm not going to be able to name them all. We all came from that, and the idea was for us to go back to a simpler time, a simpler idea of worship. Now, we, as disciples of Christ in our early history, we have to own a couple of things that were a little unusual in our history. I'm not saying they're bad, but they're just a little different. We, in our early history, were very much like Pentecostals. We did a lot of whooping, and we did a lot of fainting, and because we were slain in the Spirit, we did a lot of singing and dancing. We did a lot of worshiping outside with the preacher on a stump, tree stump, preaching for hours and hours and hours and hours. I couldn't see Phil when I got there. But all they did was sing and preach. No, faldy, raw, fiddly-dee, taking up an offering, people gave. They just gave. They gave all day. Faldy, raw, fiddly-dee, we'll have an offering, we'll have a craving, we'll have nothing wrong with any of those things. Now you can understand, I love those things. But the idea I think you're getting by now is every time we seem to have to make it more complicated than it is. In 1971, there was a musical that came out by some young people. It was called Godspell. It came out 2 years before Jesus Christ Superstar. Jesus Christ Superstar was the more famous of the musicals. It had set, costumes, makeup. It played in theaters. It was fancy, fancy do. Godspell, on the other hand, had some set, if you call 2x4s and horses, when horses, chain link fence set. It had some makeup, if you call tears and big clown smiles, jeans, t-shirts of the day, costumes. It was much simpler. And there were a lot of people in the established community that didn't understand. But it was just like what had come years and years before that, and years before that. Godspell was an attempt to say, we don't have to have all of this stuff to worship God. All we need is good words and good music. Good words and good music. Anybody remember that one? Kids? It's fast, isn't it? Repetition. Oh my, grandma and grandpa didn't like it. Well, why do they have to repeat it so many times? This chorus just goes on and on and on. But you couldn't forget it, could you? Day by day, the following, the morning. my favorites is the one that's called All Good Gifts. This may start, if it doesn't start at the beginning, I'm going to restart it, so. Oh, wait. All good gifts, this is taken straight from Scripture. All good gifts come from heaven.